This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It is the 28th of April, 2025. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank. The HAD podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including a recap of state budget cuts that impacted state ag agencies, and meet one of the Indy 500 milk people for the upcoming race Memorial Day weekend. HAD Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin sees rain that likely misses most of Indiana today, but there are some chances for tomorrow. And on Friday, corn, bean, and wheat markets very quiet headed to the weekend. We have Brian Basting market commentary coming up on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture? Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
State budget cuts impacting ISDA and presenting the milk in Victory Circle. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The 2025 Indiana legislative session has now come to a close. One of the final items of business was finalizing a budget for the next 2 years for the state. As we discussed on the latest Indiana Ag Policy podcast from Hoosier Ag Today, that became increasingly difficult after last week's budget forecast was released. Steve Howell with the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance.
We did have the April revenue forecast that showed $2.4 billion shortfall. They're going to have to make that up somewhere. And we do know that there is a rating day fund and there's a front moving through and it's starting to rain. So they're going to have to pull from that. However, there's going to have to be other cuts.
And those cuts came down in a big way for many state agencies, including the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. Their general fund was decreased by 5%, which was expected for most departments. But cuts to funding for the Grain Buyers Agency brings the total revenue lost to somewhere around 12 to 13%. As for the Board of Animal Health, their funding did not get cut, thankfully. Sources tell Hoosier Ag Today the issue they have is that federal money is way behind schedule in getting paid to the department. The Animal Disease Diagnostic Laboratory at Purdue kept its funding of $5 million annually for the next 2 years, the same as before. Howell emphasizes the importance of getting involved with your Ag Policy membership group to make sure your voice is heard and is being represented at the State House.
We've always been fortunate. Indiana's been a great place to do business, whether it's agriculture or any other business. We've had a friendly regulatory environment, friendly tax environment. But as these cuts go pretty deep in some of these agencies and perhaps even deeper, some of the basic functions of this regulatory environment that's made Indiana a good place to do business, that's being threatened.
Tune in to the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast in the HAT Mobile app or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're about to turn the calendar to May, and that means one thing. The Indy 500 is almost here. We're less than a month away. And at the end of the greatest spectacle in racing, two Indiana dairy producers get to be part of the celebration in Victory Circle. CJ Miller introduces you to one of them today.
I'm most excited about just embracing the moment. It's an exciting time, honestly, for two worlds to collide, dairy and racing.
And that's Ashley Stockwell, an Indiana dairy producer from Steuben County. She's also this year's Indy 500 rookie milk person. Abby Herr from Noble County is the Indy 500 veteran milk person. And at the end of this year's race, Abby will hand a glass bottle of milk to the winning driver in Victory Circle, while Ashley will hand off another bottle of milk to the winning driver's chief mechanic. So how did Ashley become this year's Indy 500 rookie milk person?
But you're actually recommended and nominated by your peers. Your peers vote on it. And by peers, I mean your fellow dairy farmers here in Indiana. So when I got the call that I had actually been selected and voted upon, I called my husband and told him, and he was like super excited for me. And I told the kids, I'm like, wait, our mom's going to be famous?
None of this would have been possible, even her wanting to become a farmer, if it weren't for her husband, Kyle.
My family has a farm. I'm a fifth generation farmer in Adams County that'll, you know, will take over the family farm eventually. And growing up, though, I just said I didn't want to marry a farmer. I really didn't feel like it was my cup of tea at the time. And in high school, I met Kyle and we just kind of were friends, nothing serious. And then I went off to IU again, dead set, I'm not going to marry a farmer. And we eventually went on a date and the rest is history. So I guess I have to laugh because, you know, I went from not wanting to marry a farmer and I went to marrying a dairy farmer.
Now Ashley says she couldn't be any prouder.
You know, I've been involved with it almost 16 years now and I love it. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, right? Dairy farming is 24/7, but I am thankful that we're able to produce the nutritious dairy products that we're able to produce and raise my family on a dairy farm as well. It gives them a different perspective compared to some other kids in this world.
You can check out my full conversation with Steuben County Dairy Producer Ashley Stockwell at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Watching a significant area of precipitation start to develop here today to the northwest of us, coming out of the northern plains, across the upper Midwest, and into the Great Lakes region. The initial surge of moisture today stays mostly north of, well, definitely north of I-90 and a large part of it north of I-94. So we do not expect any significant weather issues as we move through the evening or overnight. Now, a cold front extending to the southwest does try and knock on our door by the time we get to sunrise tomorrow morning. And so I'm going to say maybe a few hit and miss scattered showers are going to be around, but I think we end up with only about 40%. Here's the issue that we have. That front then stalls Tuesday evening through the overnight, and I think we see additional shower and thunderstorm activity trying to ride up that old boundary out of the Central Plains on through Wednesday and into early Thursday. So I think the initial moisture this week is going to be very hit and miss. Nothing today, probably 30 to 40% coverage tomorrow, more in central and southern Indiana than up north. But then we get Wednesday, we fill this in. Thursday is probably the wettest day. To flip the calendar into the month of May, we can see from Wednesday into Thursday probably 0.5 to 1.5 inch rainfall totals, coverage 100% of the Hoosier State. Once we get to Friday the 2nd, we are cooler but dry, and we stay dry through the 3rd, the 4th, and even into the 5th of next week. There is another monster system trying to develop in the Great Plains next week, but it takes its own sweet time getting here. Honestly, I think that the rain that we see midweek, Wednesday, Thursday this week, may be all we see until we get well into midweek or late week next week. That's good. If you want to get some planting in the books, I think we're going to be looking at an opportunity to get after it again. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Beacon Credit Union, we're not just lenders. We're your trusted partners. We listen, advise, and support your financial success. Whether expanding your farm, upgrading equipment, purchasing real estate, needing operating funds, or refinancing existing debt, we're here for you. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured, EHO lender.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, Job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. PurpleWave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Mixed and very steady markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. This update brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Preventative maintenance isn't just for equipment. As you prepare for planting this spring, make sure you take some time to check your mental health and stress level. There's more at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. The markets were very flat on Friday. The numbers coming up. First, market analysis. I grabbed that in the middle of the trading day from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. As we wrap up the week in the middle of the session, Brian, as you and I speak, the markets are fairly close to flat. Not a whole lot of movement. Choppy trade certainly today and through much of the week. How would you characterize the week overall?
Thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, I think that's a good characterization. We had the option expiration for May options on corn and soybean futures on Friday, the 25th. And typically that is kind of a positioning day. And we're seeing that the May corn futures, for example, hover right near 480 a bushel. May soybean futures hover right near 1050 a bushel. So kind of marking time until those options expire. But I do think that, we got a good start to planting in some areas. I realize that it's been a challenge there in Indiana for many folks to get started here. But as you move further west, look at the crop progress report from this past week. Some very good progress, particularly west of Mississippi. We'll see what the USDA tells us on Monday of this week. That'll be an important report. But I'd say, as you said, more or less choppiness, waiting to see what the weather forecasts look like and any news on the export front. Or geopolitical front, for that matter.
It seems in recent weeks the market leader has been corn, and it also seems this week that soybeans took over.
Soybeans did take over for a bit, Andy. We're seeing a little bit of a resurgence, maybe it's too strong a word, but an uptick, I'll say, in export demand for beans as the crop year moves well past this halfway point now, and actually looking at maybe the USDA might be a tad conservative on what their annual export forecast is. We're just seeing competitive prices right now for U.S. beans compared to Brazilian beans for various destinations. We're seeing good export sales of soybean oil, too. So if you look at that May soybean contract, this week it made the highest level since about the third week in February. So again, not a resurgence bullish market. I don't want to give the impression to your listeners that this market is going to take off and never look back. We're still looking at probably close to a 390 to 400 million bushel carryout. But regardless, I think producers want to continue to manage price movement, Andy. If they got any old crop left, you want to defend your balance sheet, take advantage of this rally here. If you've got call options on old crop beans, for example, continue to manage those options. Obviously, they'd be out in the July now probably, but regardless, you want to continue to manage price, look at new crop opportunities too. But beans have shown some life here. I do want to remind your listeners, however, Andy, I don't think that the Argentina crop is having any issues. They're harvesting that crop down there now. And the Brazilian crop is in the bin for all intents and purposes. So South American competition is going to be strong as you move into summer and fall here.
Planting progress, you kind of touched on that. How might that impact markets in the coming weeks, starting with next week when we get another update, but later in the day on Monday?
To the best that I can tell, Andy, the soybean planting progress pace USDA reported last week, 8% as of Easter Sunday on the 20th, was a record for nationwide progress. Producers, as I'm sure your listeners realize, have learned the last several years of planting beans early has paid dividends with record yields, stellar yields in some cases. But the five-year average for soybean planting progress as of April 27th, Andy, is about 12%. I think we're going to be higher than that this week, albeit, again, some challenges there, particularly in the Eastern Corn Belt. But I think we did make some additional progress here in Illinois and further west. I think 15% is probably a range in there, maybe a tad higher than that. So, a real good start for bean planting. That would be a record, too, if it is that high. Corn is not a record, but it is pretty good. It's above the five-year average. The five-year average for the 27th, Andy, is 22%, and we were 12% last week. I think we'll be in that neighborhood. I'm not sure with the challenges we've experienced again east. I don't know if we'll be above that, but I think we'll be in that neighborhood. And so I think what we're looking at, Andy, is a window here. Needless to say, as your listeners know, of about 3 weeks now, we certainly want to get that corn in the ground by the middle of May. And we've seen the benefits of what getting the beans in the ground in April and early May are. So the market is going to be watching the weather forecasts very closely here, needless to say, all throughout spring and summer. But particularly now, as we get this planting window for us between now and that middle of May, be very important.
And the market will be looking for trade headlines, too, for sure.
Yeah, any developments or non-developments, you know, just to give one example, and it is an example, not a prediction, but if we were to cut a deal with China on some type of trade that would be similar to what it was, I want to say 18 or 19, you know, that would paint a much different picture than the one we're looking at today. But both sides seem a bit far apart at the moment, but maybe we'll see what happens here as the spring proceeds. But no question that right behind the weather is trade developments in terms of the markets. I would say one thing, Andy, regarding trade, don't go too far off track here, but the export market for corn is very strong now for old crop. We're at a 30-year high, but the sales that we sold of old crop, again, this is 24 crop that we're a crop here in now, 30-year high for the last 4 weeks, and we expect exports over the next 4 weeks into mid-May to be a 30-year high, somewhere in that neighborhood of 65 to 70 million bushels a week, Andy. So I'd warn your listeners this, though. We've got a bit of apples to oranges scenario with corn from the standpoint of old crop that the carry out is much tighter than it was last fall. But new crop, there are some people out there saying that the 95.3 million acres that the USDA reported in prospective plantings there may be a tad conservative. I've heard whispers of 99, 96 and even a tad higher than that. So my message is that old crop is tight, but new crop acreage is well up from last year, if the weather permits the next month, of course, but could be well up from last year. So just keep in mind that it's a bit apples to oranges there in your marketing strategy.
Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, a penny and a half higher. May corn, July also a penny and a half up. May settles at 478 and three quarters, July 485 and a half, down three quarters on December 455 and three quarters. May beans 1049 and three quarters, down three and a quarter, two and three quarters off on the July 1059 and a quarter, and November a half point down at 1035. Just to the high side in wheat, May 530 up three quarters, July 545 up a half cent. And the meats quietly up. June live cattle, 208.25, up 25 cents. June lean hogs, a stronger day, 101.15, a 122 gain. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.